All right. Good Friday morning, everyone.
Morning.
Oh, there we go. We got a lot better response than last week. You guys already blew that out of the ballpark. So, all right. How's everybody doing today? Good today. Good to hear. Today is Friday, August 6th, 2021, Steve. Oh, I'm not standing in the right spot. I'm a rookie still. So, yeah, 2021. And you know what? I've already determined we went into fall. You know how I determined this? Preseason NFL football started last night. So that's right. We got football going on now. So we're technically heading towards, we're in fall. That's why I look at it. That doesn't mean much to anybody, but you know, it does to me. So anyway, but welcome. I'd like to introduce our terminals this morning. Let's go out to Salt Lake City. We have Troy out there. Troy or Brian?
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic in Salt Lake City.
You didn't see that game last night, did you?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I did not see the game last night. And I know the Steelers played. How'd they do?
We don't want to say, really. Cowboys lost. Your Steelers won. I'll just give it to you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there you go. Steelers fans? No, okay. I'm in Salt Lake. There's not very many Steelers fans in Salt Lake City.
I noticed. I think you had a birthday this past week too, didn't you, Troy?
I did. I'm 25 now. Thank you.
25. Good to hear. Well, happy birthday, man. Hopefully you had a good day.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Most anything good going on out there this week?
You know what? Just a lot of good weather in Salt Lake this week. We were below 100 for most of the days. So it was a beautiful week, and we got bunch of PSD and upgrades, man, with crazy upgrades here in Salt Lake. So we're handing out trucks left and right. We're doing a great time, good time in Salt Lake.
Well, that's good to hear. If you need anything this morning, you guys need to talk, let us know.
You got it. We'll let you know.
All right. Thanks, Troy. Let's go out east to Pittston, Pennsylvania. We have Rick.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing good, Rick. How about you guys?
We're doing fantastic. You know, we got a great week going here. We got sun shining all week. It's going to shine all weekend and into next week, and it's going to be in the 90s. So, yeah, we're going to have a good week this week.
Good deal. I have to run that AC a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. We had a few in class this week. I think we had 30 in class. And, yeah, we're doing a good week this week.
Good to hear, Rick. If you guys have any questions, anything to bring up, let us know.
We certainly will. Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Back here in Springfield. Everybody doing fine so far? You can see everybody's eyes are still open. That's a good thing. You didn't eat too much. That's good to see you this morning. So I just wanted to welcome all of our new people here this morning. If you're new here to Prime this week in orientation, AC, BC, CC, DC, doesn't matter, or at any one of our terminals, Salt Lake, Pittston, if you could please stand and be recognized, we'd like to give you a round of applause. Thank you very much. Glad to have a seat. We'd like to welcome you all. This is a great company you're joining. Started back in 1970 of all time, 51 years, if I do my math right. This gentleman right over here, Robert Lowe's, our owner. He's been here since day one. So we're so fortunate to have him. Not only that, we've got a great management staff underneath him too as well. But best of all, we've got the best drivers in the industry. And we've got the best training program you all will be going through as well. So want to welcome you. Get ready. I was just talking to these gentlemen up here, how much they've already learned this week in orientation. And there's a lot more to be learned, especially you get out on the road. But ultimately, take your time, understand what you're doing. And if you want to extend your training time, you can. You have that choice. And many of you, right, you know, if you haven't had that winter driving, that'll be coming up sooner than what you think, especially if you start running west. You're going to be hitting the snow up in the mountains. And I know right now we're all wearing shorts and T-shirts running around here, but that'll be changing. And you know, it starts out west and comes this direction. So be prepared. And if you're not ready, if you wanted to extend that training time, that's okay with us. You know, you just say so, tell your trainer, tell your fleet manager, let them know. More importantly, though, if you have any questions about anything, maintenance, payroll, whatever may be, training, safety, let us know. You know, get a hold of your fleet manager, get a hold of safety department. We're here to help you out. We want to see you succeed. So I'm going to shut up for a little bit. I'd love to bring up our next speaker here. Right next to me is Steve Fields. Steve's been here at Prime for 25 years. Great safety director here. And I'm going to turn it over to you for a few
minutes.
Morning,
Dave.
Morning.
Good start to the meeting.
There we go.
Now, I appreciate everyone being here. I also want to give my welcome to the new folks. We are glad you're here. We try to tailor these meetings with our speakers to information that we believe is useful, informative to everyone. So let me tell you who our speakers are today and why they're here. Our first speaker is going to be Dr. Abraham. Dr. Abraham runs Trinity Healthcare downstairs. Is just a fantastic asset for us. To be able to have a medical doctor on site here at our facility is fantastic. And the doctor's got a couple of smaller topics. And then when he and I are going to talk a little bit about the vaccine. There's a lot of misinformation. People are scared. People have questions. So we're going to talk about the vaccine a little bit. Then we're going to go to Jason Seymour. Jason's one of our reefer operations managers. And he's going to talk about, I believe, the opportunities that are available financially for folks that end up teaming, whether that's a team with a husband and wife, a team with two friends, or in a lot of cases, teaming in a training situation. Really, the possibilities are incredible right now for teams. You know, I can't overemphasize or talk about just how incredible these opportunities are. And you know, I've got a general idea of the background of the new people that we have here today. Probably come from a lot of different backgrounds. Some people starting second careers. Some people maybe their profession went away or a plant closed or something. We truly are going to give you an opportunity to take care of your family, I believe, to a degree that maybe you haven't had that ability before for whatever reason. Truly, teams basically write their own ticket out there right now financially. I'm sure Steve will talk about it on the sales side. Customers love teams. The ability that you have to deliver freight in a timely manner, basically nonstop across the country, we can't put a value on that right now. So that's going to be really directed to our current operators that may not be teaming, but maybe more so to our new associates here, our new operators that in a year from now, where you can be financially, where you can be in this industry. So we're pretty excited to have Jason here. And then finally, we've got Jeff Chisholm here. We had Jeff here last week talking about cargo claims, but Jeff has a lot on his plate, and he also handles what we call subrogation. That means when a piece of our equipment is damaged, maybe someone backs into you at a truck stop, Jeff and Liz up in Pittston handle those claims. And as a lease operator or an owner operator, you know, someone damaging your truck significantly, that can be catastrophic. Financially. So Jeff and Liz do a great job with that. And I'll ask him to talk about that and the information we need from you to put that claim in against the other party so we can keep you whole financially. So we've got a lot to talk about today. I think Dave started it off well, but I think we're just going to go straight into to our first speaker. Fortunately, Dave and I don't have any significant accidents to talk about this week. You're doing great out there. We're having a good summer. Let's keep that up. So let's get started with our speakers. And Dr. Abraham, you ready?
Good morning.
Morning.
So a couple quick things before we go into the whole COVID discussion. I want to talk to you about one, you know, we experienced quite a bit of heat out there and a heat wave going across the nation. You want to make sure you're staying plenty cool. A couple things you want to remember. As a male, you typically want to drink about 120 ounces of water a day. Females typically want to drink about 90 ounces a day. For each cup of coffee you drink, so each 8 ounce, not a big Joe cup, you want to drink another equivalent of water of that to compensate for the water you're losing, because coffee, soda, tea, all those are diuretics, which means you pee out that water that you're drinking. The other thing is, as these heat levels get higher, you see one thing, you see the temperature, but you also see the heat index. Heat index is a combination of the temperature plus the humidity. Once somebody gets exposed to the heat, if somebody's acclimated to it, which generally takes a couple weeks, you'll end up sweating about 2 to 3 liters per hour if you're acclimated. If you're not acclimated, you only sweat about 1 liter an hour. So the key is that amount of sweat that you put out is how you cool your system. It's almost like antifreeze in a cooling system. The water evaporates off the skin and thereby pulls the heat off the system and cools down the body. However, when you get humidity levels up to about 75%, there's so much moisture in there that heating, that cooling mechanism kind of negates itself. There's too much moisture, so you really don't lose that moisture and the heat from your system. So always make sure you're drinking plenty of water, wear loose clothing. If you do start to experience signs of heat exhaustion, which would be headache, nausea, confusion, dizziness, get to a cool place immediately, start cooling yourself down. If you can remove clothing, remove clothing. Make sure your APUs are working, so your air conditioning in the truck's working. So just some simple reminders there. If you guys have any questions about that, by all means, reach out to the clinic and we can talk more about that. Other thing I want to talk about is marijuana. So marijuana is legal in some states, obviously, but federally it is not legal. And thereby, since FMCSA is a federally regulated system, you cannot use marijuana and drive. Once marijuana started becoming legal in some states, we started seeing these head shops pop up selling CBD oil. And a lot of times these CBD products will advertise no THC. To truly get a product of CBD oil that doesn't have any THC, you have to spend a lot of money. These quick CBD, you know, purchases over the counter and such, they're typically so cheap that you're going to have some THC in it. I don't know how many times I've had to tell drivers that their drug screen is positive because of CBD oil. And at that point, positive, positive. You can't distinguish between CBD oil and actual marijuana. So if you're using any kind of CBD products, please stop. Please don't buy them. Spread that word. We don't want to lose our drivers. So there are other options for some of the things that CBD oil treats. And I guess with that, we'll go to COVID.
We will. And I do just want to mention one thing on the CBD. As Dr. Abraham mentioned, a positive is a positive. And there's just nothing that we can do when that MRO reports it out as a positive for THC. It's basically the end of the game in trucking. And we just hate to see that happen to anyone. So please take the doctor's advice. Stay away from the CBD products. They're just not regulated. And you don't know what you're putting in your system. Okay. Vaccine. I made up my questions here from stuff we've gotten, Dr. Abraham. And you know, I think the first one probably is, what's the purpose of the vaccine? And particularly with the Delta variant, it's pretty common knowledge. You can still contract COVID if you've been vaccinated, this particularly with the Delta variant. So why get the vaccine?
And Steve, you're exactly correct. And not even with the Delta variant, even with the original variant, you can still get COVID. And that's what we've said since the beginning. When the vaccine first started coming out, we plainly stated that it's not going to keep you from getting COVID, but what it is going to do is keep you hopefully from getting serious disease and end up in the hospital and, you know, hopefully decrease the amount of transmission. We know readily that people that have had the vaccine can get it and can transmit it, just like with the flu vaccine. It's the same kind of story. There's no magic about the vaccine. It's just that it keeps you from getting a very severe case of it. If you look at our hospital numbers locally, 98 to 99% of the hospitalized cases are unvaccinated folks. And I believe I saw a stat the other day that 99% of the deaths throughout the U.S. from COVID now are in unvaccinated people.
You know, I saw that this morning when I checked our local news. We have two major hospitals here, Cox and Mercy, and their numbers kind of match up almost identically to what the doctor said. A little bit different, but basically the same thing. Since July, 51% of the patients in ICU have died. And I think the number was 98% of those were unvaccinated. The facts are the facts. We all have our opinions. We get our information from different sources, but the facts are the facts. And if you go into ICU, there's a 50-50 chance you're not coming out with COVID. And the way to prevent going into ICU is to be vaccinated. That's my statement to you. Okay, Dr. Abraham, how exactly does the vaccine work? We hear stuff, it's going to change my DNA. I won't even bring up it's got a chip in it because that's ridiculous. But what does I get the vaccine today? I get my second shot 30 days later, 14 days after that, I'm fully inoculated, fully vaccinated. Now, what's my body going to do if I am exposed to COVID and I get COVID? What's it going to do to protect me?
So what happens with the vaccine is basically taking a recipe to your cells in your body. And the recipe it takes is to make what's called a spike protein. The spike protein is just part of the COVID virus. It is not the entire virus. It's not putting COVID into your system. It's basically putting the spike protein on the surface of one of your cells so that your immune system can recognize it. Once it recognizes it, it makes antibodies or soldiers to fight that off. So then when you truly get exposed to the virus, your antibodies are already there and made, because it typically takes a few weeks for antibodies to get created. So if you already have them in your system already knows how to make it, it doesn't have to worry about the 2 or 3 week process in order to make it and fight it. It's already prepared. Do you have a question? I'm sorry.
We hear a lot about this term herd immunity, and that kind of is the way we're going to eventually overcome COVID, by having herd immunity. What I read yesterday is that getting the vaccine is the key to reaching herd immunity. Kind of your thoughts on that and why it's so important that we get to 80 or 90 or even higher percent vaccinated as a country.
Initially, we heard a lot about herd immunity. And unfortunately, at this point, I'm not sure we're going to reach herd immunity because we're in a situation where it's a constant race. The vaccine keeps outpacing us. So every time we have this new variant that's running through, it's almost like we start back from square one. So our initial goal was to get a herd immunity of roughly 70%. And herd immunity is something that applies to all viruses or all infectious diseases. Herd immunity talks about the amount of population you need to have that is either immune by way of immunization or by previous infection. And at that level, it makes it difficult for the virus to transmit. With measles, for example, it was upwards of 95% herd immunity that was needed. COVID, they initially thought was going to be about 70%. But like I said, with these new variants that are constantly popping up, we're having issues where we can't keep up. And a lot of that comes about, one, from the vaccine hesitancy, two, from the fact that the vaccine hasn't been distributed evenly throughout the world. I mean, we saw what happened in India. The South African variant popped over to India and ripped through billions of population there that hadn't been vaccinated. As that happens, whenever you have these active infections going on, the virus starts to replicate. Each replication can result in a possible mutation. And sometimes those mutations are significant enough that they create a new variant that is more deadly. And every living organism's one instinct is to survive. And that's what COVID is doing. It's trying to survive. So it's making itself stronger, smarter. Initially, the spike protein was used for the virus to attach to the cell and bring itself into the cell so that the cell could get infected. Now the virus is actually using that spike protein to attach one cell to another. So it's directly putting its viral particles, it's basically making a bridge. So that way those viral particles don't get exposed to your antibodies. So it really is a smart virus, and it's getting to the point where it's getting harder for us to stay ahead of the game.
You mentioned that successive variants can be smarter, stronger. Are we seeing that with the Delta variant, particularly with children? When COVID started, it seemed like basically children weren't that much at risk, but now we're seeing more and more younger patients, even 1 and 2 year olds. Is that because the variation is different, I guess?
That's correct. It is starting to hit a different population now. We're starting to see younger folks be affected by it, our 30 to 40 year olds. Last year, about this time, the average age of a hospitalized patient was about 65 and higher. Now it's about 30 to 40s. I think our youngest patient last week over at Cox Hospital was 4 years old that was hospitalized. So it is definitely hitting a younger side of our population.
Should we be concerned that the vaccine has only been approved for emergency use versus that it doesn't, I guess, have full FDA approval? I got it. I got down there at the front of the line. I pushed some people aside and made sure I got it with the first group. But should we begin? Are you concerned that it's only for emergency use?
I am not. And you got to remember that the emergency use authorization is basically the vaccine has essentially the safety approval, but what they're waiting on now is to see how long the effectiveness lasts. And that's what they're waiting on. And we expect to have that by anywhere from September to January. So it's more or less a administrative holdup, and the safety aspect of it has been vetted and true. And it's been put through the same safety evaluation that any other vaccine would have been put through.
Sometimes we hear, well, I've had COVID. I know I have immunities. I probably don't need to get vaccinated. What are your thoughts on that, doctor?
So to give you an example on that one, I got my shot back in January. I had a patient who contracted COVID in January. I checked our antibody levels about a month ago. My antibody levels came at 1,900. His came back at 90. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much difference there is between the vaccine infection-induced antibodies versus a straight-up infection that was given to you and how many antibodies you create from that. And the vaccine was designed to overstimulate and cause a lot of antibody production because we knew it was going to be a bad virus, so we needed to make sure we mounted enough response to it.
So if someone has COVID, there's no risk, or your recommendation is still get vaccinated, even if you've had COVID and recovered from it?
Yes, I would wait 90 days, though, because your immune system's already been activated. It's already been stimulated to make antibodies. So you don't want to overload it and overload the immune system. So let your immune system do its thing, build up the antibodies the way it normally would, give it about 90 days and then get your shot.
Sometimes we hear, well, there could be side effects from the vaccine. And you know, I know through your staff and Woods Pharmacy, you've probably given out, I don't know, maybe have you reached 1,000 yet?
We're probably close to 2,000.
2,000 vaccines. Can you talk a little bit about the side effects? You know, I know for myself on the second shot, I had a little headache the second night after getting my second vaccine. You know, Dave had some side effects, little ones, but, you know, I pushed through it. It wasn't that hard. So what are the biggest concerns that you see about potential side effects, or if there are some that we should be concerned about?
And we call them side effects. In all reality, it's your body doing what it's supposed to do. Once your body gets exposed to any kind of virus or any kind of agent that stimulates the immune system starts working hard. It starts to wear the body down. So some of the common side effects we see is a sore arm, a little bit of fatigue, some headache. On occasion, for example, my wife, after her second one, is about 24 hours later, she started getting feverish chills, felt achy. But about 24 hours later, it's gone just like that. So the immune system's doing what it's supposed to. If you don't have those symptoms, doesn't mean your immune system's not doing what it's supposed to. It's just everybody's system is different. So we haven't seen any serious side effects. We had one patient have an anaphylactic type of reaction, but this patient was known to have random anaphylaxis anyway. So it wasn't a surprise that that patient experienced that. Outside of that, the majority of the stuff has been a sore arm, fatigue, flu-like symptoms. Outside of that, we really haven't seen a whole lot.
Let's open it up. Do we have any questions for the doctor? You know, this is kind of a unique opportunity here. You know, I'm not going to ask if you're vaccinated. That's your decision to make. That's where we stand at Prime. But do we have any questions? I know we have some online. So let me open it up here to Pittston or Salt Lake City. Any questions for the doctor? What have you got, Mitch?
Got a question here from Gary Stonelake on Facebook. He wants to know what percentage of Prime drivers are vaccinated.
That one's hard to assess, Gary, just because we don't have the data on all that, and it's a touchy subject as far as asking people if they have or not. We have the data as far as who all we have vaccinated, but we have drivers that have been vaccinated elsewhere, in-house staff that have been vaccinated elsewhere also.
John Silva wants to know, can we get the vaccination at Prime in Springfield? I will be there come this Sunday.
Most definitely. We are doing them Tuesdays and Thursdays. Currently, we have the Moderna vaccine. We also have a small batch of the Pfizer vaccine. Right now, we're limiting that to ages 12 through 18 and those that have received a Pfizer dose elsewhere and they're looking for the second dose. As we go along, we'll probably go and have about half Pfizer, half Moderna, and we'll be able to offer both readily and freely.
Let's talk for a second about why every day you just can't open up a table, crack open a vial of vaccine, and basically handle walk-ins. Maybe you get two people that day. Why can't we do that, doctor?
So each vial, so for example, the Moderna vial has about 10 doses in it. The Pfizer vial has about 6 doses in it. Once you open a bottle, you've got 6 hours in which to use it. If we just open up to walk-ins, we may have one person use it that day, and the rest of the vial goes to waste. So we have to report all our waste to the state. And obviously, we're experiencing a lot of waste. They start to scrutinize what we're doing, and then we start to get restricted on how much vaccine we can receive.
Brennan Officer on Facebook wants to know, what are your thoughts on a booster after 6 months from the second vaccine?
Okay. So I hate the word that they use, booster. A booster almost states that the vaccine is not effective. The vaccine is effective. You might as well call the flu shot every year a booster, for that matter. The thing is, the COVID shot is going to be coming year-round. It's going to become an annual type of a situation once we get to that steady state where everybody's been immunized or everybody that wants to be immunized has been. But as far as a booster, you know, I don't know that 6 months is a good date. If you're ever curious about it, we can check antibody levels down in the clinic, and we check what's called quantitative antibody levels, which actually gives you the number instead of just saying yes or no, you have antibodies. So it gives you a little more of a hard fact as to how much you have and, you know, if you truly need it at that point.
Okay. Any more questions for the doctor? And of course, the doctor's located downstairs with Trinity Healthcare. We rely on them a lot, always with questions. I can tell you, really, their purpose for being here is to keep us healthy. Pretty quiet group.
Steve, real quick,
yeah.
The DNA question. So there's a lot of people think that with it being an mRNA virus, it's going to affect your DNA. It does not affect your DNA. Your DNA, so you have cells throughout your body, and every cell has what's called a nucleus. It's like the central command. Your DNA is housed in the central command. mRNA does not enter the DNA into the nucleus, so it has no effect on your DNA. It's one of those things that spread by the popular news outlet called Facebook, unfortunately. The other thing we hear on Facebook is that it can cause infertility. Another bit of myth that was totally scientific myth that was blown out of proportion. There is a small segment of amino acid chain, which is about 50 particles long, that is close to representing what's in the placenta. The normal chain is about 4,000. So when we look at that, people assume that, oh, because you're making antibodies to the spike protein that has a similar protein in the placenta, you're going to have antibodies to placenta and thereby have an abortion or have a miscarriage. That is absolutely false. If you look at the rate of how many pregnant folks have had COVID and delivered their babies in term, that itself proves that theory false. If that was the case, then they would have made antibodies from placenta and miscarried. So again, another myth that was passed on by Facebook. So watch what you're reading. And if you have questions about the stuff you see out there, reach out to us. We're more than happy to answer those questions and give you some clarity to it.
You know, I think I'll kind of end this segment with kind of where we started. Again, at Cox Hospital, of the people hospitalized for COVID, 97% were not vaccinated. 97%. You know, just think about that. And you know, I'm sure when Robert comes up at the end of the meeting, he'll give us his thoughts on being vaccinated, where the company is. We haven't required it, but we're working real hard to share information and hopefully convince people to voluntarily get vaccinated. We're not through this yet. We are simply not through it. All you have to do is look at the news that this is not going to end anytime soon. And we can't afford to lose one of you. And more importantly, your family cannot afford to lose you. So please think about it. Dr. Abraham, appreciate you being here. Great information. Ready, Jason? You know, at the beginning of the meeting, I said we were going to talk about earnings. So I'm going to ask Jason Seymour to come up. Jason and I have worked together for a long time. You know, there couldn't be a better driver advocate. He sits down in the plaza right now. It has a lot of responsibilities down there. One of the things that he does, too, is coordinate our driver COVID response. So maybe even before you get to the earnings, Jason, just your thoughts, too. You've seen it firsthand. It's no secret you had COVID and it wasn't fun.
Yeah, no, it wasn't fun. You know, yeah, we mobilized a little team way back when this first started. And, you know, just some numbers. As of yesterday, we have had 396 drivers that have tested positive. Many of those here, many out on the road. I can tell you the majority of them unvaccinated. As far as what's going on right now, since about the middle of July, we've had about 45 drivers that have tested positive. The thing that's concerning to me is that we are seeing more hospitalizations. We probably had 4 or 5 hospitalizations in that period of time just within the last month. And, you know, really sad news. Unfortunately, we've lost 2 drivers in the last month that have not been able to, you know, that ended up going into the hospital and into the ICU. And, you know, again, the common theme is all those folks they're not vaccinated. They're not vaccinated. So I did have it. I caught it in November. Man, I thought, well, you know, I think both of them, I mean, I do think that, I mean, I knew it was real because I saw it. I mean, I was living it every day. I do think, depending on where you get your news, there's a tendency for things to misrepresentation of information, you know, kind of fear mongering, if you want to call it that. I think both of those things can be true. And I think that we need to use trust Dr. Abraham, you know, a great resource as far as getting the facts and getting the straight talk as far as what it is and what it isn't, and how to, most importantly, how to protect ourselves. That's, you know, we're a family. We've all got to protect ourselves and each other. I got the vaccine. You know, I was first in line until Fields pushed me out of the way. But I got it, you know, and I'll, you know, again, to me, it's a no-brainer. My family got it. I got my kids. We were a little uncertain about the kids. I've got a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old, but after really thinking about it and talking to Dr. Abraham, we went ahead and got him vaccinated. You know, the way this thing's going, the opportunity is we've all been exposed to it. And we're all going to get it. So option one is you're vaccinated and you have that extra layer of protection from getting really sick and potentially dying, or you're not vaccinated and you're rolling the dice and you're one of these 50-50 that ends up in the ICU and maybe you don't make it out. So, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it that I've seen. You know, I talk to folks and I think, oh man, you've got it. And the test comes back negative. And then you have folks that literally have nothing more than a drippy nose and they're positive. And then, you know, 10 days later, they sound really, really bad. So that's just my view on it. You know, if there's anything we can do to support you, you know, if you get sick, I mean, that's probably the number one thing that I can ask you to do is if you have any kind of tickle in the throat, runny nose, body ache, headache, sore throat, nausea, diarrhea, any kind of combination of those things, that could potentially be the onset of something. And unfortunately, the only way we know whether it's something or whether it's nothing is if we get you tested. But we got to get isolated because we have had instances where folks thought, oh man, it's just allergies, and they're out on the pad walking around the building, and 3 or 4 days later they're sick and we test them and they're positive. And, you know, obviously that has a domino effect through all of us. So just be mindful, be aware of your body, be aware of the people that are around you, encourage people to take those precautions, because it really is going to take all of us working together to keep ourselves safe. So
thanks, Jason. Appreciate that. And you got some other good info for us.
Don't I do.
Go anywhere.
Great. Now on to the good stuff.
The good stuff.
The good stuff. Yeah. I'm going to talk to everybody here, but really more specifically, I want to speak to the folks in the yellow vests, and I want to echo what the other folks have said. Welcome. Thank you. You made a great decision coming here. Now I got an easy question for the folks in the yellow vests. As Steve said, maybe you came here, it's a second career, maybe your first career went away. How many of you in the yellow vest want to make $100,000 in the next 52 weeks? Amen, brother. That's what I'm talking about. So that's why I'm here, is I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to explain to you how to do it, because that path starts today, okay? We've talked a lot about teams and how valuable they are in the marketplace right now. And, you know, so with our earnings as strong as they are, a great thing, drivers are making more money now than they ever have. So our training program, you know, just like you guys coming in, we're going to need, we have a class every week, and we're going to need people to train those folks. Now, when you hit 6 months of longevity at Prime, you're going to be eligible to train. And so if you start thinking about that ahead for the next year, you know, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, your earnings are going to be zero because you're training, working towards that CDL. Then the next 9 weeks or so, you're going to be out training, running as a co-driver, a second seat on a truck, teaming, learning to, you know, do all those things to be able to operate a truck independently by yourself. And our guarantee for those earnings for our co-drivers is set at $900. Okay. So in the first 9 weeks that you're out there or so, your earnings are going to be $8,100. Now, once you hit that point and you've hit that 30,000 mile threshold and you're able to upgrade and get your own truck, you're going to go out and you're going to run as a solo in our reefer network. And I will, just a little disclaimer, the numbers I'm giving you here are for the reefer, a refrigerated lease division, okay? If you go reefer company, it's going to be a little bit different. If you go tanker, lease, or company, it's going to be a little bit different, or flatbed. But I can tell you on the lease side, all three divisions are pretty closely matched as far as earnings go. So it doesn't matter whether you're refrigerated, tanker, or flatbed. If you run a lease truck, these numbers are going to be in the ballpark, okay? So to get to that 6 months, you got to run 13 weeks as a solo. Our average earnings over the last 52 weeks for our reefer solos is $1,565. So you're going to run the co-driver miles, and then for the next 13 weeks, that's going to put your earnings average at $20,345, okay? Now that puts you at the six-month mark. So assuming that you meet the qualifications, and what we're talking about there is safety, we do look at your accident record, we look at your logs. It's very important that you're logging properly and you're staying in contact with your log auditor. We look at your net fuel cost and your driving habits, you know, from a speed and a critical event standpoint, which is all stuff that you'll learn about as you go out there and begin the training process. So for the next 13 weeks, I'm sorry. Yeah. For the next 13 weeks, you'll have the $20,345 in earnings, and then you'll come in, you'll be eligible to come in, and you'll be able eligible to attend the training program. So at that point, everybody that comes in and takes our training program, their first student is going to be a PSD student, just like yourself. So we're going to bring you in, we're going to put you through a week of classes, and then we're going to take somebody out just like you are today for a 3 to 4 week period of time. All right. So, and for doing that, we're going to pay you an additional $300 a week. So that means for that next 4 week period of time, your earnings are going to be $1,865 a week, or a total of about $7,400. And that is when you start getting into the big money. This is how valuable teams are in our network right now. So for the last 22 weeks of the year, out of that 52 block, our average team earnings over the last 52 weeks are north of $3,000 a week. And you start thinking about that, you know, so that's a total of a little over almost $67,000. So the path is built for you, folks. If you start thinking about it now, and I know everybody comes here, and I mean, I've been around a minute or two, and, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And, you know, Steve said I should go company first before I lease a truck, or, you know, Joey said I should go flatbed. You're going to hear all kinds of different opinions on what's best for you. I can tell you, the only person that knows what's best for you is yourself, right? Develop your circle. That needs to be your trainer, your instructor. Stay close to your fleet manager. All of our operations manager and our management team are here to help you. I know you guys spend a ton of time out in the plaza. Stan Casterkey and Steve Larson, super valuable resources as far as knowing what the opportunities are for folks as they come through the program. But the thing I want to stress to you today is that the pathway is built. The heavy lifting is done. All you got to do is work the program. And here's what I'm here to do today is to plant the seed and explain what the program is, to start getting that curiosity up and have you asking those questions, because it's important. You got to begin with the end in mind, right? If you want to know where you're going to be 52 weeks from now, that's a journey that starts today, okay? So it's important to plan for it. Know what the expectations are. Know what benchmarks you need to hit along that year journey so that at the end of the year, you can hit that goal that you're all shooting for, which is $100,000 in earnings. And I'm either in the plaza or the basement of the Z building. If you want to come and ask questions, I can show you the earnings. This isn't smoke and mirrors. These are real numbers. We track them every single week, and we're extremely proud of them. And I'm extremely excited for everybody in the room to be able to take part in them.
Well, we're not going to let you off that easy, Jason. I think Mitch has got some questions online for you.
Got one here for you. Tony Martin wants to know, are those numbers that you're saying, is that take-home pay or is that gross earnings?
That is profit to the truck. Again, we're dealing with lease operators on the reefer division. So that is earnings after truck payment, fuel, after paying the co-driver as well, okay? So, yeah, that's net profit to the truck on a weekly basis.
You got another one here. Is everything OTR?
The numbers that I gave are OTR. I will tell you, we do have a very robust regional network in several areas. We have a Northeast region, Southeast region, Midwest region, and a Western regional. So we've got four right now. We're looking to aggressively add. We recognize that, you know, maybe not everybody wants to run teams. Some people are maybe willing to give up some of those earnings in order to stay a little bit closer to home, okay? Steve and our sales team aggressively go after regional opportunities. You know, I can't say that we don't run any teams in those, but it's probably limited, the number of teams that we run in our regional network, just because of the nature of the freight and the geographies that we keep you in. Sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge to keep a team as productive as they need to be while limiting that geography. I'm not saying it can't be done. It's just something that we've got to get better at and we continue to work towards.
Got another question coming. Jason?
Okay.
Good morning,
Jason. Good morning. I have a question. I'm on a journey coming up with my 9 months.
Awesome. I would not. I would talk to your fleet manager today. I would talk to your fleet manager today and say, I am interested in teaming and training, and have a conversation with your fleet manager, you know, and look at those benchmarks. I can tell you probably the, you know, the main benchmarks, there's a time in grade, which is the 6 months. We want 6 months of over-the-road experience, which you have. We want not 60 days of being a lead seat at Prime, okay? So you got to be an A seat and operating independently on your own for 60 days. We do look at safety. Again, that's accidents, critical events. We look at your net fuel cost and the driving habits because those are important from a safety aspect. You know, probably the one that I think people forget, and I just talked to the fleet managers about this last week, is logs. You know, it's important that if you're going to train somebody, you need to log correctly, right? And there's a lot of rules on that. And probably the two main ones I see are the split or the sleeper berth off-duty time, right? Because you got to have some of both. Well, I'll take that back. There's three. There's the sleeper berth off-duty time, making sure you have the line four time, the on-duty not driving for your pre-trip or post-trip or your fueling. You know, there's got to be a certain amount of that. And the big one is the PC, the personal conveyance, drivers misusing personal conveyance. So what happens is with just the number of drivers we have and the number of personal conveyance incidents we have on a weekly or monthly basis, many times drivers may be misusing it, and we don't know that they're necessarily misusing it until it's like, hey, I want to be a trainer, and the log auditor will go back and review your logs over the past month or 2 months or whatever, and like, oh, man, this guy is he's misused personal conveyance 52 times, so we can't qualify him as a trainer. We need to get him in for a log class, the comprehensive log class, and then we need to put him out, and we need to let him run for 30 days to prove to us that he or she can log correctly and not continue to misuse that personal conveyance. So have that conversation today so that we can find out where you're at. Hopefully you're qualified and we can get you in class next week. But if you're not, then that gives us an opportunity to say, we need to tweak these two things or these three things or whatever to get you qualified as soon as possible.
We can repeat it. Go ahead. We'll repeat the question. Yeah. And I say thank you. And I would say the numbers that you just gave, they're very conservative because I've been out for 6 months and you're well above those numbers. Yeah. So if somebody's looking to make money, here's a team, you're going to make that money. So thank you for the opportunity.
Steve taught me a long time ago, under promise, over deliver, right? Under promise, over deliver. But I can tell you, there's some weeks that are like, whoa, it's like I need to go get my CDL. But Caster Key tried to teach me to back out one day on the pad, and it was a mess. There was cones everywhere and wedged up between the drive tires. It was a bad scene. So I'll stick to dispatching.
Before we let Jason go, and we got one more question, so hang on. I did want to repeat the gentleman's original question because it was a little hard to hear because the mic was out. He said he's coming up on 9 months, and I remember the day you started. You were coming down the hill, Mayfair, you and your wife, and checking the place out. So, man, I love it. But the question was, I'm coming up on 9 months. Should I wait till 9 months to put in my my request to train? And the answer was no on that. Our current requirement is 6 months. Yeah, but remember,
you're 3 months late.
Sir?
I'm sorry, he's 3 months late.
Yeah, 3 months late. But remember what Jason said, get with your fleet manager early so we can do that vetting process ahead of time and get things corrected. You know, we hate to tell someone, no, we've got to get your logs a little bit better. We've got to get those critical events under control when you're thinking you're ready to go. So that's a great point by Jason. Yes, sir.
We still have to, new trainers still have to have a winter driving experience in addition to the 6 months driving period. Is that correct? Or are you waiving the winter driving?
We're not waiving it. We've never had it. We look at every case individually, and we look at where folks are from, how well they've done. If, you know, maybe it might be better for this driver to get a little more experience, specifically some winter driving experience. We may have some people wait, but it's not a fixed requirement. We look at each record individually.
And the other thing, when the people are looking at what earnings are, my earnings, I ran solo this last week, and my earnings are way above what the average were, but that's because I'm awesome. But also, but what people need to understand is that there's some weeks where you're going to have a really awesome week and where you're going to have weeks that you didn't quite do as awesome as you ordinarily do. So it's look at what the averages are. Don't just take 1 week as what you think it ought to be for the year. Average that out over, I say 2 or 3 weeks, even a month, And when you start looking at those numbers, then you get back to the numbers that Jason is talking about.
That's a great point. You're, you know, in the, in the lease division, you're running a business, and it's no different than, you know, Prime with 5,500 reefer trucks, or the grocery store, or the gas station up here at the corner, or a car lot. There's some months that are going to be better. There's some months that are going to be worse. You know, not as great. The challenge is to be consistent and plan for the ups and downs of running your own business. So, and we're all here to help.
Go ahead, man.
We'll get it. I mean, guys, that's a whole different thing of driving. Okay. So 6 months. I haven't had 6 months. With the student, that's the blind leading the blind, because winter driving is way different than dry driving. So we didn't have any requirements.
Yep. Oh, her question was, and it came back to this gentleman's, about why don't we have that mandatory requirement for winter driving? And it's a fair question. And, you know, it's really a case of we can't give everyone every opportunity to do everything before they go out. And winter driving is a challenge. There's no doubt about it. But I think if you just do one thing, in winter, which is slow down, you're going to be okay. And I'm not discounting your question at all. You know, we would love to have everyone, you know, go over Donner, go over Cabbage, run across Wyoming. But sometimes we just don't have those opportunities. But we do watch people carefully. And one of our responsibilities in safety is if we put someone out a little too soon to train, to maybe back off a little bit. So we won't let it slide. Okay, I'm going to close up this segment with just, I don't want to be a downer here, but, you know, all the information Jason gave, and I truly believe we're very transparent, but I'll tell you this, you're going to earn every penny that you make. And I hope it is $100,000. I hope it's $125,000. But it's not a case of, well, Friday, here's my paycheck. I was sitting at home all week, or I turned down three loads. No, you're going to earn it. Trucking is a very, very difficult profession, but it's also a rewarding profession. I've driven over the road. Dave's driven over the road. I think I was making 19 cents a mile. If I made $20,000, it was probably a good year for me. Things have really changed, and thank goodness. But let's just be clear. You're going to earn that money out there, and I know you're up for it. You wouldn't be here if you're not. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Hey, Jason, quick question. You sure Field moved you out of the way for your vaccine shot?
I wasn't, sure. I was looking off to the side, man. I wasn't paying attention. He kind of chop blocked me from behind, you know?
It was a cheap shot, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I'm going to ask Jeff to start making his way up here, but I do want to mention just, you know, you're going to say, geez, is he ever going to shut up about COVID? But this is real world stuff. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we promised you this week we would have the Missouri Highway Patrol here, and we love having Captain Kelly, his Major Turner, his boss, but obviously they're not here. There was a COVID outbreak at the Highway Patrol, and the captain did the right thing, said, I can't come down. So, you know, that's an example of how it impacts us all. And also, we've had to make some changes in our cafeteria here to make sure that we keep it open as many hours as possible. We've had to cut out some of the things we offer during certain hours to keep the line moving. There's always hot food there, but we may not be able to make something to order while we kind of work around some COVID challenges there as well. So again, this is real stuff. Jeff and I, we've worked together for a long time too. In fact, Jeff sits right next to me. And let me tell you, you know, there's a lot of people fighting for you, but I hear Jeff on the phone every day fighting on these claims. You know, that's just not right the way we're being treated by the shipper or the receiver, or it's not right that this company doesn't want to pay for our damages. Jeff's been in trucking his whole life, and he knows about this stuff. So we asked him to come today to talk about specifically subrogation, what information he needs from you if your truck gets hit. If Roy and Renee are unfortunate enough to be at a truck stop and a Schneider backs into you, takes your hood out, you know, we want to collect for you guys. So go ahead, Jeff. How do we do that?
Thank you, Steve. Well, we do offer a program to assist our lease operators. You know, what we do in that type of situation, if it's a non-preventable accident, we will postpone charging any deductibles. Prime will pay for any temp repairs. We'll pay for your final repairs. Essentially, we're trying to keep you whole where you don't have any out-of-pocket expense at all, and we will pursue the other party for our damages and your downtime. Now, a lot of the collection efforts is going to largely depend on what we do at the scene. We need to be very diligent about collecting the information. If the other party is, you know, cooperative, you know, take pictures of his driver's license, his registration, his certificate of insurance, take good scene photos, especially if you have paint transfers or the vehicles up against each other. If you need to, I would recommend calling the police. A lot of times they won't respond to private property. But if we get a police report, you know, that's always to our benefit. If there's any witnesses, please have them sign something. Just even a quick one or two line statement that says, hey, I saw the Snyder truck back into Prime. Here's my name. Here's my phone number. And those things go a long ways in helping us collect. Also, dash cams, very, very helpful for the accidents on the road, especially these lane changes, these mirror side swipes, things like that. It's hard to prove, but if we have a dash cam, we can usually prevail in those types of accidents. If you have damages and you need immediate repairs, I suggest getting with a road assist. You know, maybe replace that mirror, replace that deer guard, something to get you back on the road, get you back on your trip, making money. If you have damage that pretty well incapacitates your truck, in most cases, we will choose to tow it back to a prime facility. We don't want to put our trucks into these body shops on the road. They cost twice as much to do the repairs. They take twice as long. We're much better to spend the money to tow our truck maybe 200-400 miles to a prime facility. If you have minor damages, maybe a scrape on your sleeper, scrape on the fender, I wouldn't worry about getting it fixed right now. You know, keep the truck out there, stay out there making money. In those cases, we can use the photos that you send in. We can have our body shop write an estimate and collect from the other party, and you can just fix it at your convenience when you're at the terminal for a couple of days or maybe even end of lease. When we do file the claims, I know everybody's anxious to get downtime, but please give it probably a minimum 30 days. We'll send the claim off. By the time they get it, they review it, they process it, they audit it, they send a check. It's usually 30-day minimum. Some of the insurance companies are a little bit longer. We do pursue downtime. We go straight off of your operating statements. Our goal is to collect all of your fixed costs and any contribution to profit that you lost. We want to keep you as whole as possible. Sometimes some of these insurance companies, they want to pay a rental equivalent, maybe $150, $200 a day. There are some of those trucking companies out there that I disagree with, but they don't want to pay downtime at all, and we have a challenge fighting for you in those situations. Some of them can be very difficult. Worst case scenario, if maybe the other party's uninsured, there's a dispute that we can't prevail, eventually we may have to charge your deductible, but that's a last resort. You know, we want to try to keep you, like I said, keep it as pain-free as possible. No money out of your pocket. You might have a little downtime that we're trying to collect on, but our goal is to try to support you, keep you working, keep your business whole, and recover all of our damages. So it's pretty simple. I'm a pretty straightforward program, but we've had it in place for a long time, and our goal, like I said, is just to support our operators and provide that service. We don't charge anything for that service. We don't take any percentage of the collection, any downtime that we collect, 100% to you guys. So it's just something with that Robert put in place a long time ago just as support.
What about hotels and stuff like that? Because I'm in that situation right now. I was hit. My truck's in the shop the last 3 days. I'm down. I'm a leaser. I got to pay for a hotel and downtime. Does hotels come into play too?
Absolutely. If you have downtime, you know, we'll certainly collect that. If you have hotel expenses, provide the receipts to us. Once in a while, we'll have rental car expenses, provide those receipts to us. And we're going to ask for everything. You know, the worst they can say is no, but I mean, our goal is to pursue and collect all of those damages. Any other questions?
You know, one thing I will add on the pictures, make sure they're nice and clear and that we can see them. You know, sometimes you get so anxious to take a picture, you kind of don't look at it, but Jeff needs clear pictures. And to me, I think the most important piece of information, if you can get that DOT number from there, yeah. we can get their address, we can get their phone number. So if you're in somewhat a hostile situation there, at least get us that DOT number. And from there, we can probably start working. And the truck number. Some of these carriers are pretty big. And, you know, I tell you, if someone were to call Prime and say, well, it was one of your trucks, but I don't know which one, we probably would not entertain that claim. And Jeff runs into that, too. It was this company's truck, but I can't tell you which one. It makes it very hard for Jeff and Liz. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm a lease purchaser. I brought a brand new truck. It has like 7,000 miles on it, Freightliner, and it was a piece that broke on it up in Chicago, Illinois, and I had to get towed to a Freightliner. Even though the part was covered, my tow wasn't covered, but it was a brand new truck. I still ended up having to pay $1,000 for a tow. But I don't understand, like, how is that? If the truck would have been in good condition, I would have never needed a tow.
I'd probably defer that to a road assist associate for that type of question. I primarily just handle the ones that are accident related.
Yeah, in a case like that, work that through your road assist advisor. We've got reps back here, but we'll work those cases through the OE as well. So I'd like to visit with you after the meeting. We'll see the circumstances, why you had to be towed, and see whether we can get the OE to pay for it. Absolutely.
Hey, and just one quick add-on. If your accident's at night, obviously take scene photos and everything. But the next day, if you can, and in the daylight, take daylight photos of your damage so we can see them clearly. If your trailer is damaged by a shipper or receiver, please try to get something in writing. They're probably one of the hardest groups to collect from. Get an incident report, get the supervisor's name, have it noted on the bill of lading, have it noted on a business card. But get as much documentation as you possibly can. They seem to forget about those incidents a couple of days after they happen.
I remember those. Yeah. Okay, good deal. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you coming up and sharing that with us. Now, we still got two more speakers, but before we get to them, I do want to go ahead and ask anyone that served in our armed forces, that defended our country, would you please stand for a minute so we could recognize you this morning? Thank you all for your service. Steve, I'm going to start you out with a question, too, because we've had some, and you brought it up yesterday. Our drivers want to know what's going on with Tyson, requirements, what's going to happen to the drivers. So, Steve Wutke, our Vice President of Sales and Marketing.
Hey, it's really nice to see you all, and welcome to our company. We do have a good company. We're proud of it, and we got a lot of good operators. So that's really what has made us successful. It's always about drivers. It's always about people. And we're all in it together. The question was, one of our larger customers are issuing a mandate for their associates, I think, to be vaccinated. And there was some pushback and maybe some talk about losing some people based off of that edict. Our approach is going to be this. We're going to keep doing business. And we're going to plan to go in and pick up our loads and leave, just like we always do. So until we know different, until we hear more, that's our job. All right. So, and your job as an operator is to continue to protect yourself, because you've heard enough about COVID today to understand it's the real deal. It will hurt you. It can kill you. And you need to be thinking to continue to protect yourself. All right. So that's where that is. And it's a fair question. I think that they'll work through it. They have a good company. They know what they're doing with their associates. You know, everything's a little bit different. El Jefe, our boss man, he's chosen a different path, and that's just fine. We trust his leadership. We trust his judgment, and we'll continue to exercise his judgment, and we'll all work through this together. But between now and then, just listen to what Dr. Abe said. He's not making this up. That's his opinion. I trust that he thinks we should get vaccinated. He thinks that's a better road to go for everyone to stay safe and get past this terrible experience. So I'm not a doctor, but I sure trust Dr. Abe. And his only dog in the fight is to protect you all. That's his only deal. He's not making bonus money for saying stuff. It is the reality that he is sharing with us. So, okay, enough of that. We really, really want to talk to you just a little bit about safety. This safety meeting, you can't tell it because we talk about a lot of different things. But our highest calling here at Prime is safety. We have an obligation. You all are obligated to protect yourselves and the general public. And if you don't feel like you can do that, you don't think you can get behind that wheel and be ready to go every time it's your shift, then you're in the wrong profession. We don't want to hurt anybody. We're not into that. We want to protect. We want you to be safe. And we have great equipment. Robert's invested in all kinds of safety equipment on the power and the trailers that we have. So the rest is up to you to operate it correctly. One other thing I'd add on the training side, this is always kind of a touchy subject, but it's not for me. If you want to train, you got to have some personal hygiene that is good. All right. And you got to have a truck that is well maintained inside, because we don't need a billy goat trying to train a new guy or gal how to drive. Okay. So just get that on the table. Is that okay, Robert? Wasn't supposed to say that way, was I? Anyway, that's the way it is. You gotta have good personal hygiene to do this training thing. All right. So what Jason Seymour shared with you as earnings, it's real. Didn't make them up. We're selling. We got the best service in the refrigerated industry. We have a lot of teams. Teams are a value add. Our customers love teams. You guys and gals can make 1,000 miles in 24 hours. It's crazy what y'all can do. Really crazy how good you can be. Our pharmaceutical companies, our customers, they like two drivers. Why do they like two drivers? Because one's in the truck when the other's taking a break and we don't get theft. We don't get stolen. They pay big money for those things. You look at our earnings and our revenue per mile. We've had a lot of success, and we have had a lot of success because of what you all and those out there that are not in the safety meeting are doing right now. Picking them up, delivering them on time safely and without claims. And if you do have a claim, Jeff Steem will help you through it, and he'll fight to protect us all. So sounds a little preachy. I apologize. He started me with the question and kind of got fired up. Thank you, Steve. That's all good. But I'd like to bring up the guy that started it. I think he said 50 years ago. I don't know. He was young. He's still young. Right. Right.
Yeah.
You're feeling young, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not feel like 36.
Well, you don't look it.
I knew you were going to say that.
You served up a softball.
You don't look like an MD either.
I'm not.
That's the first time he's ever admitted to me that he's not an MD. You know what I'm saying?
Might be a
but
deal.
He is a hell of a sales guy. I mean, you clean him up, you put some socks on him, you suit him up, you get him a haircut, and he's one of the best sales guys in the country. Let me tell you something.
I can sell without socks and with long hair. It's okay.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Just think how good you could be. Yeah, we could use another 10, 15, 20%, couldn't we? Huh? I can have an amen on that? Yeah.
Yeah,
now,
I like
you,
it.
Now you got a challenge. I'm throwing the gauntlet down.
You're going to get another slinged arm if you keep talking, because you're in trouble.
Talk is cheap.
Yeah,
I think I can still take care of you. It's left-handed here. Anyway, no, Steve's a hell of a guy. He does one heck of a job. We have a great team. We have a great management team. I hope you all could appreciate what I'm sure you did, what Jason Seymour brings to the table. Man, that guy is good. If you have any kind of issues, you know, there's a guy that can help you out. Particularly on the reefer side, he is good at what he does. Very good. And I hope that you can feel from these managers the respect they have for what you do. We owe that to you. We owe that to you. We owe you safety. Part of that is your health. I mean, how can you be safe if you're sick? We owe that to you, and we're going to provide that. We owe you the ability to make a living, to make some bank, and I think we're doing one hell of a job. I'll put our driver's earnings up against anybody in the country. I don't care what they say, what they advertise. It's real here. These folks couldn't say it. They couldn't say it without choking if it wasn't the truth. I guarantee you. And we can prove it. We got the documents to prove what our drivers are doing. And guess what? Steve, we're going to make it better.
Oh, yeah. It's getting better every day. It is.
We're just going to make it better. This thing's not going to be over in a minute or two. You know, these folks finally, the shippers finally really, really need us. When I say us, I mean, they need you. They need what you do. And they're just our precious few folks are willing to go out on the road and make the sacrifices you got to make to deliver the goods that this country needs, you know, particularly food and pharma, the things that we really specialize in on the reefer side, right? So it's long overdue. Drivers for generations have been underappreciated and underpaid. You know, finally that's changing. And that's a damn good thing. And you all deserve it. I appreciate what y'all do. God bless you, and please be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Hey, Doc. Thanks very much.